Right, Jimmy Cricket is making just one appearance in Ireland this year, apparently, and it's tonight in on Green On Theatre in Letterkenny, and he's being supported by local comedian Andy McGranahan, who's on the show for Shameless Plug. There's no point sugarcoating it any other way, Andy, really.
No, you're very good.
You're not really in the midst of a sellout All Ireland tour, so this is just about flogging a few.
Well, we're not doing too badly with tickets. I was checking last night. I think there's about 130 or 140. So we're hopeful.
That's superb. And look, we know that I jest, but we know the way it works is people turn up on the night and.
Yes. So we're very hopeful. Well, I haven't been chatting to Jimmy Cricket's son, Dale, his agent. So I haven't been chatting to him for a couple of days, but I know that they're happy with ticket sales as it is, like, you know, and there will be walking.
Exactly. Today, so. And people look, see if there's tickets available and then say, look, I'll just walk up. They know how the place works. So it's going to be a good crowd.
Yeah.
You're on first, presumably.
No, I'm actually not. I'm on, the setup is that Jimmy comes on, does a wee bit of a warm-up for about 10 minutes. Yeah. His wife, May Marion, she's a singer. She does about three songs. As far as I remember, the last time she done Dusty Springfield songs, and they were very nice. And then Jimmy come on, do 5 more minutes, and then he'll introduce me, and I'll do 20 minutes up to the peak. And then Jimmy comes on in the second half, does his 40 minutes.
Sounds good, doesn't it? And a kind of a family affair as well.
His son's the agent.
His wife is singing and what have you.
And he might adopt me. Maybe I'll get me into the family. Could adopt me.
Yeah, that's a long shot.
I could do a tribute act to him in my latter years.
It's a tenner in. I don't think it's going to cover you, is it? Is it a tenner, is it?
Oh, it's only a tenner, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the theme of the theme of his tour, isn't it?
Yes, better value for a tenner. So. Mm. I must say, the night in Balbuffet, when I seen him, he's old school. Mm. He does his jokes, and then later on in the show, he does a wee bit of juggling, does a wee bit of impersonations, and he's an all-rounder, and I think he takes great pride in you going out the door after 2 hours and saying, wow, that was great value for a tenner.
I mean, Jimmy Cricket, I thought he was an older man when I was young.
Yes.
Because he kind of portrayed that kind of a character, very hard to read his age. Yes. And I was surprised to learn he's not actually even that old now.
Yes.
But he's still kind of one of the few links back to, I don't know,
late 70s, early 80s, like
Saturday Night Entertainment, Rove Variety, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, there's not many links back to sort of Morecambe and Wye, you know,
He's definitely back in those times. I suppose his heyday, I would say, seemed to be around the early 80s and that, you know, and he's still making a very good, honest living at it, like, you know. But I was just looking up on the internet this morning again to remind myself, like, he'd done This Is Your Life back in 1987.
Wow.
It was one of the last ones that was filmed with Eamon Andrews. Mm. It was the second last one. And Eamon Andrews died the day after it was broadcast or something. There was kind of a, so I think he had, you know, he's very kind of emotional memories about that period as well. Like, so 1987, that's 30 years ago. So, you know, he's done really well because there's been a whole new wave of comedians came in after that, all them new wave fellas, you know, and stuff like that. But Jimmy still kept his own tried and tested routine.
And there is still a big market for sort of family,
clean, wholesome fun.
Exactly, you know, and there are some, albeit very few, comedians that are doing very, very well at that.
Yeah.
And I think there's some older comedians that probably didn't see space for themselves and they could have kept at it.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, no, there's definitely room for it, you know, and maybe you could, no, there's so many different types of comedians now, you know, and like, it's a very hard question. I know sometimes you're asked, who's your favourite comedian? Like, but at my age now, I can see...
Well, who's your favourite comedian?
Thanks very much. But that would have been usually a good interview. No, I would have asked you that earlier on.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you're getting paid by Jimmy Cricket, so I wasn't going to expect an honest answer. Who is your favourite? If you had to pick one or two?
Well, locally, I must say that I really enjoy Conall Gallan. Like, Conall Gallan's brilliant entertainer. Yeah. He sings a bit and he tells a good joke and he never would go too far
is
over
the line. Is he outside, is
he? I'm hoping he's listening.
He's on the show later.
He might give me a wee break somewhere along the line, or maybe a break in my arm or something. But there's a fella there, there's a Canadian fella, Stuart Francis, does one-liners, very straight-faced, love him as well now, and the Irish fellas, Neil Delamere, Des Bishop, Tommy Tiernan, you know, They're all different, and they're all good. Yeah. I wish I was as good as any of them.
Well, tell us about that. I mean, when did you start getting into comedy? Tonight?
Well, I definitely hope I'm into tonight. I shall be walking home with a tail between my legs, which has happened a lot. Mm. But I think what happened at school, I wasn't the most academic, and I tended to, when I went to secondary school in particular, I started to kind of mess about a bit.
Use your sense of humour sort of?
Yeah, maybe. And maybe when there's a few boys picking on you or something, you used your humour, and also joined the boxing club was another good way of getting around that. But so then, always wanted to do drama, but I seen it as being something that was kind of for the well-off people, right, you know. And so later on then I got into the pantomimes with Patrick Doherty, and he gave you a wee bit of freedom to do a bit of ad-libbing and stuff. And after that, I went in with Plunkett into amateur drama and Letterkenny Music and Drama as well. And then it kind of got me into the way of thinking that, you know, stand-up and addressing the audience face-to-face.
But that's you on your own then, because, you know, there's a big leap there. We all know fellas that can crack a joke, and when I say fellas, I mean women and men.
Yeah.
Great sense of humour, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But you got up and try and do a 20-minute set when it's just you, a microphone, and...
Oh, it's tough. It can be.
People looking at you, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to sugar-lace it or sugar-coat it, as you says.
Well, I'll eat that if you did.
Yeah, that's sweet too. I've seen you giving out to Marion about the no sugar in the tea. But, no, it can be tough. Yeah. Now, I've been up in there's a gig in Belfast called The Pavilion, and it's mainly it can be quite quiet nights, and it's mainly students, and a big grey-haired man gets on in his...
But a great learning curve, though.
Oh, yeah. You take something from it every time. So that's why I keep going back and trying it. Brilliant, like, you know, and it has got better. Yeah. I hadn't been in Mason's in Derry for 3 or 4 years. Myself and Tommy Daly had been in one night, and it went pretty horrendous. Went back in there, Peter Davison's running it, and I went in there a couple of weeks ago, and it went brilliant. It was a brilliant night.
Of your 20 minutes, how much is written? How much do you ad lib? Well, I mean, you know, are you keeping it local?
There would be definitely local stuff in it, and there might even be the wee mention about Highland Radio on it as well.
Just to get
a wee touch, and
such thing as bad publicity, I suppose.
As I've got older, I'm kind of inclined to,
as long as you leave me out of it,
think about obituaries and stuff like that. There's a wee bit of that thrown in as well.
But they're also very unique to local radio, unique to us. I mean, you know, it's the way we deal with death and all that type of stuff is very specific here, and even down to wakes and all that
the
kind
wakes,
of stuff.
Because you go down the country, they say, wake, what's that? You know, they say it kind of sounds weird, but I think it's quite a nice way of dealing with the thing, and it helps the family over them few days. And as I've got older, when I was younger, I was in an office, and I've kind of brought this into that. The older man in the office used to come out of his office, and he would turn up the radios to listen to the obituaries, and he used to turn around and say to me, "Of course, a great day, Andy, when your name's not called out in the wakes." And I used to snigger to myself. I think it will not be long till your name's being called out on the minute. I thought he was an old man. He was probably 48 or something. And so now I'm the boy in the office that turns up the obituaries as they come on at 10:05.
Yeah, just to make sure.
But it's not all death and doom. Hopefully there's a lot of laughs in it as well.
But you know what? There's light and shade in life.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, both can share the same space sometime, can't they?
Because I've even noticed now, you know, Donald's such a...
Donald Cavan in the newsroom,
Donald Cavan's voice is great for the job. Like, you know, but I just happened to be listening there one day, and Catherine done it, and I thought, God, that's great. Catherine brings a kind of a seductiveness to them, to the thing. So there's something there that I'll have to work on as well.
There's three things in the one sentence I never thought I'd all hear at the one time. But listen, the best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much,
people,
Greg.
Can walk up on the night, get tickets
in
advance.
They can indeed.
And this is something that you would love to be doing more regularly.
I've great admiration for the young comedians now that are all over the Northwest. So,
you need to get rid of this fixation with age.
But what I suppose I'm lucky in that I've got a full time job.
Yeah,
you know, my boss might say he's not sure whether I'm full time or not. But I'm very lucky. I have a wage coming in. I don't depend on the comedy earners or my family.
There's no pressure.
There's not as much pressure on me. Whereas someone that's really, really ambitious and they're dependent on their comedy, it's much tougher. Like,
well, listen, it's Andy McGranahan in the middle of the Jimmy Cricket Show tonight. It's really great value. I think it's going to be a great night. It's a bit of family entertainment too, isn't it?
It's definitely family orientated. It's half price for children at a fiver. And they'll thoroughly enjoy
it. What time does it start? I don't have it here.
It starts at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, brilliant. So that's a lovely Saturday evening on a bank holiday weekend,
it's a nice way to start it.
And look, the great thing is, you know, you've not used any jokes up during this interview, so it'll all be fresh for tonight. So
maybe I did impinge slightly on the obituary stuff there, but you managed to pull me back.
Listen, Andy, great to have you in. The best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
I mean, you know, I couldn't do it.
You could. I've seen you in action there.
It's tough what you do up on a stage. Just you, the mic, and as I say, expectant faces.
there'll be a lot of touching wood before I go out.
I know, you'll do grand. Yeah. Listen, Andy, thanks. Great to have you on the show and chat to you again.
Thank you.